14, the podcast.
Everything else is at jackfm.com and live on 96.9 Jack FM weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
Yesterday, we were talking about your worst financial decision ever. And last night, I found an amazing brand new story. I'll get to that for you in just a moment. But first, let's just relive Terry Jean Stevens' own worst financial decision ever about the purchase of the family minivan.
And then I found out we've only been paying the interest on it, and we still owe $7,000 more than the van is even worth.
Just to keep that scab freshly picked.
You know, after I shared that story yesterday, though, I heard from a lot of people who said that they've got themselves caught up in a similar sort of vehicle loan. And it's not illegal. It's just sketchy on behalf of the dealership and the salesperson to not alert people who are maybe not too educated in car buying that the total amount owing may be going up as you negotiate a lower monthly payment. Warning to you.
You probably won't feel as bad as former NBA legend Spencer Haywood.
Hey, Spencer.
He was a big player back in the 70s. In fact, at the height of his career, when he was playing for the Seattle Supersonics, a young guy called Phil Knight came to him and said, "Hey, man, starting up this sports company, can you be the first person we endorse with your sneaker?" Spencer Haywood said, "Yeah, man, no problem. Sounds great. What can you offer?" And the guy said, "Well, not a lot. I can offer you $100,000. Or, I don't know, 10% in the company." Haywood's manager said, "Great opportunity, definitely take the cash, therefore I get my commission, and you never know how a startup's going to go." Unfortunately for Spencer Haywood, it turns out that he was offered 10% in a little sporting company called Nike.
No way.
A company that today is worth $86.2 billion.
10% therefore, in the company?
He would have $8.6 billion.
Oh, God.
Gross worth.
How do you live with yourself? I mean, you'd have to become a Buddhist or something to get over that, right? You'd really need to find some inner solace and peace somewhere outside yourself. Holy cow.
After that as well, he got traded to the Los Angeles Lakers and fell in with the wrong crowd. And I think he put half of it up his nose as well. So it's all gone. 10% of Nike back in the 70s. Worst financial decision ever. Valentine's gone wrong. Can we talk about this for a second, TJ? We are just 1 week away from your next retail holiday opportunity, known as Valentine's Day.
No pressure.
No pressure whatsoever. Geez, it rolls around fast, doesn't it? There's already Valentine's gifts been popping up in supermarkets for a few weeks.
You know who goes big on the retail displays of Valentine's stuff is places like Shoppers Drug Mart, London Drugs, those drug stores.
So the one you just pop by just for, not for a whole shop, but just something real quick, and then they get you with the impulse buy near the counter. Oh, Valentine's is coming
up. Diane, my wife. Chocolate hearts, go.
Chocolate for the wife. Bonbons for the girlfriend.
What about Valentine's gone wrong stories? 280-JACK, 280-5225.
I saw this story from supermarket chain Tesco in the UK where people have been seeing a little sign that's popping up in different items around the supermarket that says, "Ideal for Valentine's." Only problem is either they've been putting them on weird items or people have been moving them around the store.
Oh, no.
So you got some whipped cream. Ideal for Valentine's. Kind of, you can understand that. Might go with the chocolates or a little bit of fun later. But also there is ideal for Valentine's right in front of some fresh cucumbers.
Oh!
That could be a Valentine's Day. If you've really got no idea.
That's not gone wrong. That's gone right.
If you got no idea and you pop home with a happy Valentine's Day, sweetheart, here's the cucumber. I'm off to watch the football. You might get in a bit of trouble.
Valentine's gone. You know what? We could do Valentine's gone wrong stories, Valentine's gone right stories. Let's just get in the spirit here on 280 Jack.
Why don't you share, TJ?
Yeah, I'll share mine. When Derek and I, my now husband, first started dating, and I was just full of romantic intentions and energy. We had just moved in together. We had been dating about 6 months, but we'd known each other a while. And I decided to buy all new bedding for our bed, like sexy sheets and blankets and piled up pillows. And the bed looked freaking amazing from our, you know, IKEA blanket, basically.
Guy's not big on multiple pillows on the bed, by the way, but continue.
Thanks. Where were you 10 years ago? So the bed's all done up nice. I had also bought from Granville Island some chocolate-covered strawberries, mm-hmm. and they were in the fridge. I was all, like, sexy and ready to go. Derek came home from a long day at work, or maybe it was even just hockey. Didn't know it was Valentine's Day, had got me nothing, climbed into bed without even commenting on the new bedding and pillows.
Yeah.
And after a couple weeks, I had noticed and purposely allowed the chocolate-covered strawberries to go moldy. Just out of spite. He never noticed that either.
No.
They were sitting on a plate in full display.
Good to know green. You're not hanging on to any resentment, though. That's
well,
nice.
Well, I still married him, so whatever.
Valentine's gone very wrong or very right. Morning,
just
Sparkly.
To be clear.
How are you?
When my husband and I were first dating, I'd gone back to school, and I was in this class with all, it was like an all-girls class. And first year for Valentine's, he surprised me with 24 roses. Unfortunately, I wasn't in class when they arrived, so I found out later. And then the next year, he one-upped it and had a singing quartet come in.
Wow.
Let me call you, sweetheart, I'm in love with you.
All the women in the class are all clustered around, like, and they're all going like, oh, my boyfriend or my husband doesn't do anything like that for me. Later on, he admitted it was cheaper than the flowers.
The quartet was cheap, yeah.
He also discovered that, my birthday is fairly close to Valentine's Day. He discovered that flower prices are still jacked up, like, 1 or 2 weeks after Valentine's Day.
Really?
It's the makeup flowers.
Yeah.
Let me call you, sweetheart, I'm in love.
A few minutes ago, Susan from Bellingham made this big statement.
I have a Valentine. Actually, I have several Valentine's Day gone right. For the last 20 years, Valentine's Day gone right.
Sounds like this is totally impossible in a marriage there, Susan. So how do you do it?
So my husband and I were married in college. We were both in college. So we were very poor. And we made a rule for Valentine's Day that you could never spend more than $5. And this was when we were in college. So we started off and we would do fun things for each other. Like the first Valentine's Day, I made him an indoor picnic and I made the entire living or small, tiny, ugly living room into the outside, cut construction paper clouds and construction paper amps and a sun and made the entire inside like it was outside and did a big picnic. And he's brought me milkshakes to school and he hand dipped me chocolate covered strawberries once. I made him a pie with little hearts cut out of the top and knit him a hat. So we decided that after we were no longer as poor as we were in college, that we continued the $5 tradition of Valentine's Day. So every year since for the last 20 years, we don't go over $5 and we have to be creative.
Wow.
The downside to all this, though, is that you guys never even have sex, right?
Oh, no, we really like each other.
Oh, yeah, you could tell, exactly.
If you would learn to knit for a guy, then I'd say that he probably
our,
he is a keeper.
Our three boys are always like, oh, my gosh, you guys, enough.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What, so romantic.
What did you get him last time?
Last year, I knit him a hat.
Yeah.
And last year, he, because I refused to pay for apps on my phone, he surprised me and Valentine's, you know, when I was looking at my phone, there were like a few like fun, cheap apps that I was like, oh, this would be fun. And I was like, oh, they're on my phone now. And it was really funny and cute.
And now you spend 20 minutes a day pooing playing Candy Crush.
It's being called an incredible display of humanity on SkyTrain. And Ehab from Surrey saw it all go down and later posted the story on Facebook, a post that went viral yesterday.
Morning, Ehab. Tell us what you saw.
Yeah, so I was on the SkyTrain from Vancouver to Surrey, and it was around 9:30 p.m. And there was this man, he was about a meter away from me, and he was getting quite aggressive. He was just kind of all over the place. He was cursing, he was touching some people, he was shouting.
And you said in your Facebook post, he's 6'5", so this is a large man.
Very large man.
Do you think that he was high or do you think it was a mental health issue?
I couldn't say for sure. I don't want to judge. Yeah. I really don't know. But he was struggling for sure. That's to say the least. He was struggling. Myself included, everyone around him was either scared or awkwarded out by the situation. Myself included, I was thinking, okay, should I be changing seats? Because he was very close to me, and everyone was just very, very scared of the whole situation. And so he kept on moving around the SkyTrain, and then finally, this elderly woman puts out her hand and doesn't grab his hand, doesn't try to grab him or anything like that, but just puts out her hand, just waiting for him to reach back.
So when you say elderly woman, like a 65, 70?
No, yeah, she was 70 years old. I was able to talk to her after that incident. So she just reached out her hand and just waited for him a few seconds, because at first he looked at her awkwardly, and then finally he did reach back and held her hand, and then took a couple of moments, but a couple moments later he kind of calmed down, and then finally he sat down on the floor next to her, and then he stayed there for about 15-20 minutes until he got to his stop, which I found just remarkable. I was just astounded by the whole situation.
You took a photo of that moment where they're holding hands.
Yeah.
Did you go, oh, should I take a picture? Should I pull out my phone? Was that something that you gave much thought to?
Oh, very much so. I never do this kind of thing. I was hesitating so much to take the photo in the first place. I was actually going to take the photo. It was more personal. Like, I was just going to take it for my own memory, just because I thought I'd witnessed something so profound and so incredible that I wanted it for myself and for just a memory to remember the humanity and to remember that people are still kind in the world.
So you mentioned that you had the chance to speak to the 71-year-old woman after the incident, after this guy had got off the SkyTrain. What did she tell you?
When I talked to her, the first thing I said is just that God bless you and that the world needs more people like you. And immediately afterwards, she just started to cry, and she just said, you know, I'm a mother and I have two sons, and both of which are around his age, and I know the world can be tough, and he felt like he needed someone to touch. So astonished by that.
Thank you so much for sharing this story with everyone on Facebook. The picture is up on the Jack Vancouver Facebook page. Thank you, Ehab.
No problem.
Thank you, Ehab. Have a great day, mate.
You as well.
So imagine being told by a customer service representative that they would sooner cover themselves with paper cuts and take a lemon juice bath than continue to serve you as a customer for another second. This actually happened to a local bride-to-be, Heather Oliver. The story we found actually in the Province newspaper, and it highlights the back-and-forth emails between Heather and the customer service rep at a local limousine company. Heather has admitted that she may have sassed the person via email a little bit when she felt like what they were offering was not what she thought she was getting.
Okay.
But nothing, she says, that came close to warranting a response like, I hope your marriage lasts. So what we want to do, considering the lemon juice bath comment,
it's
is play a little
line.
Game. I'd sooner cover myself in paper cuts and take a bath in lemon juice than what? I would personally sooner cover myself in paper cuts and take a bath in lemon juice than watch the 1963 Disney movie, The Incredible Journey. This is the worst movie ever made. I am not kidding. This is, if you're not familiar with it, it is basically following a cat and a dog, maybe some other animals, as they go on this incredible journey. The whole movie is basically a narrator and then just footage of these animals running around.
Oh. Thoroughly aroused, the she-bear needed a target. Somebody had been hurting her cubs, and somebody would have to suffer the consequences.
What is it with your continued hatred?
Lord. Oh. What I don't like, and I have no idea why I have these feelings. Of course, I love animals. What I don't like is movies or in real life when people attribute animals to having human emotions or capabilities. I have no idea why this bothers me so much, but this particular movie or movies like Old Yeller.
Yep.
Lassie.
Milo and Otis?
No,
how about Milo? Skippy? Did you ever watch
or
Skippy?
Or like dog and cop duo movies, kind of
Turner
thing.
Turner and Hooch? How'd you like that one?
I would rather
cut my skin
canine
with paper cuts. Ah, stop it. And get in a lemon juice bath. How about you? I'd sooner cover myself in paper cuts and take a bath in lemon juice than what?
Sit on another long-haul plane flight. I've taken so many of them in my life, and I think to myself, every time I'm boarding that plane, I think to myself, this one's not going to be too bad. I'm going to sit here, I'm going to watch some movies, I might even get a bit of sleep, and it'll be fine. By three quarters of the way through that long-haul flight back to Australia, which can be 16 hours, I am wishing a swift death upon myself and everyone around me.
Well, considering that you're from Australia and your mom listens to the show, she's probably devastated right now to hear you say that.
96.9 Jack. Jack's Morning Glory with Kai and Tara Jean.
Okay, if you listen to our show, Jack's Morning Glory, on a regular basis, you probably get that we're all about stories. We share stories. We want you to hop on the phone and share your stories with us. We absolutely love it. The topic that I want to bring up right now, though, I have a feeling it's probably going to fall flat other than my story. But usually it's like we tell a story and then we think, oh, if I've got one, you've probably got one, 280 Jack. So
you're doing this thinking that no one will call.
It would be great if someone does.
Solid premise to start something on the show, TJ. Let's go for it.
It's a disclaimer.
Because it's Friday, I'm going to give you the all clear.
Okay. Who's got a Hell's Angel Clubhouse story? I do. In our Hot Topics this morning, I've been telling you about the BC Supreme Court judge decision that the notorious biker gang, the Hell's Angels, cannot regain control of their Nanaimo clubhouse before a civil trial in May of next year. The judge says there's just too much evidence that the Hell's Angels would use that clubhouse for unlawful activity.
No. He should trust people more.
My Hell's Angel story actually is about that Nanaimo clubhouse, and it's one of my very first memories in life. I was born in Campbell River, but when I was about one, we moved to Nanaimo for a couple years. So I was four when this happened, like 1983, 1984.
Yeah.
And my mom told me that we could not go to a matinee movie at the movie theater. And I was really angry. So I went upstairs. I packed my tiny little Care Bears or whatever it was suitcase. And I headed out the door without her knowing, with my suitcase, planning on running away. Well, kind of down the street from our house, just slightly around the corner, was the Hell's Angels clubhouse that they're speaking about in this news story. And I decided at the age of four, it would be a great place to go for refuge. I have no idea why.
It looked secure. It looked like there was good security.
If you've seen the photos of it, there's not many windows.
It looks like an abandoned gas station doesn't it?
Yes, and it looked a lot like that in 83, 84 as well. And I literally went with my suitcase all the way to that Hell's Angels clubhouse and knocked on the door.
Were they playing music inside or anything?
It was totally dead. Okay. From what I remember, there was no cars or bikes outside at the time, but I was banging on the door for whatever reason. All of a sudden, from around the corner, screeching in our white station wagon, is my mom with the window rolled down, yelling at me, "Get in the car! Get in the car!" And I remember just standing at the door to that Hell's Angel clubhouse and just saying, "No, I'm running away,
Mom!"
Did
you turn around, look her in the eye, and just knock one more time while looking at her?
No, I said, No, Mom, I want to be somebody's old lady.
Oh, do you what?
This is Kai and Tara Jean, the podcast. Everything else is at jackfm.com and live on 96.9 Jack FM weekday mornings from 6 to 10.